Amen. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And we're going to read the first 17 verses. So if you have your spot and you're physically able, would you stand with me out of respect for the Word of God? Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. Again, if you're physically able, stand with me. If you're not, don't you worry about it. Amen. And just follow along there in your Bible. I'll read the odd-numbered verses. Would you read the even-numbered verses with me through verse number 17? The Bible says in Hebrews 13 and verse 1, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable. Father, please bless these few moments that we have together. May we draw away from your word, and may we let brotherly love continue. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. It's a great chapter of the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 13. It's the conclusion of this great book of the Bible. And what we have here in Hebrews 13 is we have exhortations to Christian duties. We have exhortations to Christian duties that God gives us. And it starts off with that first one where we'll focus is let brotherly love continue. But the second one you find in verse number 2 is the exhortation to hospitality. Hospitality. We live in a suspicious day. Huh? How many of you remember? I remember when I first got saved, and I'm a bigger guy, but how many of you remember picking up a hitchhiker? I'll tell you what, I did, and again, I'm a pretty big guy, but I remember picking him up with one intention, Brother Becker, after I got saved, with one intention. It wasn't to bring him where he wanted to go, and that was a byproduct. It was, hey, do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? And boy, the idea here that God says, be careful, remember, he said, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. I wonder when we get to heaven, that fellow who you helped out, that fellow who you were just hospitable to, I've told the story, and she's not here tonight, but I remember my wife, she used to go to Boston Architectural Center, and that was where she was doing her schooling. She's really only about 10 credits shy of a bachelor's in architecture. She could do drawings and all that stuff. But she would pass, she would go in, and then at one point there was always some homeless folks that just didn't have anything. My wife got burdened for them. And so she would make, a simple little, maybe a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or maybe a ham sandwich or something like that, and put that track in there, Brother Brown, Somebody Loves Me. Anybody remember that old Chick track, Somebody Loves Me? No words in it at all. Just a little boy, a little homeless boy. Boy, one day, we're going to find out we did at times entertain angels unaware, and that we turned some away. Huh? He tells us here, it's an exhortation to the Christian duty of hospitality. Verse 3, if you look at it there, it says, remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as yourselves, being also yourselves in the body. I believe in specific it's talking about Christians that were in prison for their faith. Hey, Paul knew a little something about that, didn't he? You've heard me say it so many times. When Paul came to town, he looked for two places. He didn't look for the Hilton. Hallelujah. He didn't look for the Hampton Inn. He looked for the synagogue and the jail, because he knew he was going to the synagogue first, into the jail next, amen. And but he said, hey, remember them that are in bonds. Boy, I'll tell you, we don't know anything about this in America, but I just picked up a copy of Richard Wurmbrand's book, Tortured for Christ. And I looked inside of it, and inside of it, Brother Randall, there was a little spot where you'd tear out, and it said, remember the persecuted church. You know, in China, they still have to hide. In North Korea, you get 25 to life, and usually life, for having a Bible. And he says, not only the Christian duty of hospitality, but the Christian duty of sympathy for our brothers and sisters in dark places. Well, there's another one, verse 4, and we preach on this really every year in September and many times throughout the year, and that is the Christian duty of fidelity to one's marriage vows. Amen, church? We still believe in marriage. We still believe that marriage is between one man and one woman. Amen? He says here, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So there's the Christian duty of hospitality, sympathy, fidelity. How about the Christian duty of contentment, an oft-neglected duty in the 21st century? Says there, let your conversation or your manner of life, how you live your life, be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. I heard a preacher say, and I think the definition of it is accurate. You know what covetousness is? The itch for more. Whatever it is. Well, I got a hunting rifle, but I need two more. Well, you got three arms? Amen, yeah. The itch for more. Now listen, I know I just stepped on a toe or two, and I understand rifles can fail, and you ought to be ready for these kind of things, but you know, we don't mind it when the preacher talks about what somebody else covets. But that thing that we covet, hey preacher, you're meddling now, amen. Hey listen, I can be covetous. You know what the Bible says about covetousness in Colossians 3:5? It's idolatry. because we put things ahead of God. And so he's exhorting here to the Christian duty of contentment, just being content. Love the phrase in, I think it's 1 Timothy 6, where it says, be content with such things you have, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's sure that we could take nothing out. Amen. So contentment. Submission. Verses 7 and 17, we preached on this last year, but it talks about them that have the rule over you. It's mentioned in verse 7, it tells you to remember them. Verse 17, it says to obey them and to submit yourselves. Verse 24, it says to salute them. It's talking about the authority structure that God gives us, in particular in those that teach the Word of God. I'm nobody to be submitted to. I appreciate it. We had our pastor's breakfast. We have every first Monday of the month, a bunch of us local independent Baptists get together and have breakfast. And we were talking about what we preached on that Sunday, and I was mentioning about preaching on the prodigal's father. And I appreciate Brother Adam Summers. We were just talking. He said, you know, anytime I preach on raising kids and the families, I feel so inadequate because my kids are little. Mine are too. Amen. But we both came to the conclusion that when you're preaching the Bible will work. Amen? And so there's the Christian duty of submission there. Verses 8 and 9, it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrine. You know, there's the Christian duty of stability. And in particular, doctrinal stability. How important it is, ladies and gentlemen, that we be doctrinally stable. We're planted on this book, amen? I fear for, I guess what we would call, Brother Brown, the cotton candy churches in another 15 or 20 years, because there's not a lot of doctrinal stability. And what's going to happen is wolves are going to get in there and tear it up, and they're not even going to know the difference. You and I know, ladies and gentlemen, if a wolf snuck in here, we'd spot him. As soon as he started talking and saying, well, the blood of Christ may or may not, and we'd be ears up, amen? And all you'd be looking at me saying, Pastor, why'd you have that guy, amen? Why? Because we are doctrinally stable. That is a Christian duty. And it comes from studying to show ourselves approved unto God. So there's the Christian duty of stability. Boy, verses 10 through 14, and I don't have time to really get at them like I would like, but you really find it in verse 13 there. It says, let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And that has to do with the Christian duty of suffering for Christ. I said suffering for Christ, not just suffering. Everybody suffers. We live in a sin-cursed world. Amen, church? Everybody has some degree of suffering, be it mental or emotional or physical. This is talking about taking the name of Jesus and not being ashamed of it. And going forth outside, we don't suffer inside these walls. We rejoice one another of the cross of Christ. But really, when we get out into the world and we start talking about Christ, we sometimes will suffer for our faith. And he says here that just like he bore the cross for us, we ought to bear his reproach. Now, I've got a sermon that's soon coming down the line, called the despised doctrine. You say, oh, we don't despise doctrine here. We love doctrine. Well, I've got one I think that more and more Christians are despising, and it's called personal separation unto Christ. It's becoming a despised doctrine. We think we can have the blessing of God without separating ourselves unto God and from sin and from the world, and it's not true. Amen? It's not true. And so he talks here about suffering. He talks about sacrifice in verses 15 and 16. Very interesting. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. And then he explains what that is. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Praising him, saying, thank God. But you know, another way that we praise God with the fruit of our lips is, oh, when we lift up praises to him and sing. I love to hear our church sing. I really do. It's beautiful. you dear folks and how you sing, and Sunday morning when we have our hymn fest, and just gorgeous, amen, praising. But not just in praise, but also in participation is a sacrifice. Verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices is God well pleased. Participating, helping others, amen. And so these are the Christian duties. I want to focus just for the remaining time we have on verse 1. If you look at it with me, one of the shortest verses in the Bible, it says, let brotherly love continue. The first word and the last word are the Greek word meno, remain, stay. Those two middle words, brotherly love, are one word and we know it. It's a city in Pennsylvania where they had a constitutional convention. Boy, a while ago now, amen? 225 years, amen? It's called Philadelphia. And that's exactly what it means, brotherly love. Affection. Want to look, if we could, at the uses of the word Philadelphia and then some ways for us to help to continue in brotherly love. If you would, go with me to Romans 12. Hold your spot there in Hebrews. We'll come back there. Go to Romans 12. The first use of this word in the New Testament is Romans chapter 12. And we see some things here about brotherly love in these verses. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 10. Romans 12, 10. I appreciate the little ones. They're doing such a good job. Amen. All over. I appreciate you little ones paying attention. Brotherly love. Amen. If you're keeping notes. How many times did I say it, Josiah? Love. He's writing them down. Amen. How many times Pastor says love? Verse 10. It says, be kindly affectioned one to another with what? Brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Something we see here about brotherly love, it is rooted in humility. Brotherly love is rooted in humility. What does it say there? It says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. I'll tell you what, that is an oft-quoted verse at the Zavodsky house. When the kids get something or want a treat or whatever. I want this. What does Lukey want? I'll say to Eric, amen. Preferring one another. It's something that is against our nature. Why? Because we're selfish. Oh, no, no, not me, Pastor. I've been a Christian a long time. Stop. We're selfish creatures, amen. And so God tells us here that brotherly love, Philadelphia, is rooted in humility. And humility is the mind of Christ. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. You know, it's a good thing to say to somebody at Myers, you can go ahead of me, ma'am, with your three carts. It's a good thing. Can I say this in that context? It helps you be more like Christ. Thinking of others. Hey, I'll tell you what, I sure appreciate it when people, I go to Sam's Club and I got one thing. You know how that is at Sam's Club and people got the gigantic push carts, and here I am with one thing, and somebody looks back to me, a lost person looks back to me and says, oh, you can go ahead of me. How much more a saved person? Yeah. Preferring one another. See, brotherly love, and especially in the context of us here in the church, is rooted in humility. It's rooted in humility. Secondly, if you could go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. First Thessalonians. There it is, right after Colossians, right where I left it, amen. First Thessalonians chapter number 4. And look, if you would, at verse number 9. We see the second mention of this word, Philadelphia. It says, but as touching what? Brotherly love. Ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Paul said here, you know what? I don't need to write about that. You already know you're supposed to. God's already taught you that. I think about what Jesus said. A new commandment I write unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Later on in 1 John, we would learn in verses chapter 4, verse 7 through 21, that he that loveth God loveth his brother also. For how can he love God whom he hath not seen and hate his brother whom he hath seen? So what do you learn about that? It's not only brotherly love is rooted in humility, but it's taught by God. It's taught by God. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Okay? So it's rooted in humility. It's taught by God. Go over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Take a right turn at Hebrews there. You'll find James and then 1 Peter. Interesting verse here. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Just a few more points here. And look, if you would, in the context here, you have the blood of Christ shed as a lamb without spot and without blemish, verse 19, verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe that God raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another. That's that word Philadelphia there, three-word construction, with a pure heart fervently. Brotherly love is rooted in humility. It's taught by God, but it requires cultivation. Like a gardener. You know, somebody said if you're going to love vegetables, you've got to hate weeds. Amen? Why? Because weeds steal your vegetables. Amen? And so this idea of brotherly love here, he says, see that you love one another fervently. And that's a great adverb. Fervently. It doesn't mean, well, I love you. It means, boy, I love you. I love you and I'd do anything for you. What do you need? That's fervent brotherly love. It requires cultivation. We mentioned this so many times, but the tendency of a fire is to go out. You know what the tendency of a gospel-preaching church is over time? To implode. Yeah. You know why? People. There's only two problems in this church, men and women. That's it. It's the only problems we have here, amen? Just men and women. That's all. If we can figure that out and take care of that problem, well, then we'll all be in heaven, amen? See, it requires cultivation to love one another. First of all, sometimes we have to meet one another. I wonder how many people know Brother Darren Stark back there. Wave at us, Darren. Amen. That's you, Darren. Amen. Amen. You may have shook his hand. You may not know him at all. You know, it requires cultivation. You get to know Paul and Sarah back there. Sarah Wells back there. And Josh. Amen. Come when they can. Amen. It requires cultivation. It requires us, and it requires us to do it fervently. Yeah. Not just once in a while, not just, hey, if I feel like it. No, no, no. Fervently. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It has to do with energy and exercising ourselves in that task. So it requires cultivation. It's taught by God. It's rooted in humility. Probably just a couple pages over, 2 Peter chapter 1, the last usage of it. And then, of course, Hebrews 13, 1. But 2 Peter chapter 1, if you look at verse number 5, what happens here is we start a building blocks for faith. He says in verse 4, he tells us that we've been given exceeding great precious promises. We get saved because of the Word of God. We escape the corruption of lust. But then he says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. So we start out with faith in Christ. No matter who you are, you start out with faith in Christ. That's your foundation. Amen. But then how you build upon it is, what does it say? Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And in knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And that's that word, Philadelphia. And to brotherly kindness, charity. So what do you say there about Philadelphia? It's rooted in humility. It's taught by God. It requires cultivation. It's a building block for Christian growth. You see, there are a lot of spiritual pygmies who stopped growing because they didn't know how to love one another. They didn't learn, they didn't work at loving one another. Four things about letting brotherly love continue. Four quick things. Number one, keep growing. If we're going to let brotherly love continue, if we're going to allow brotherly love to continue here at Loomis Park Baptist Church, each one of us is going to have to make a conscious decision to keep growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep growing in love, allowing God to stretch us for His glory. Keep, listen, going up and talking to people and letting them affect us and letting us affect them. Keep growing. If we're going to let brotherly love continue, we've got to keep growing. It's that you've heard the illustration probably 100 times. It's like riding, Christian life and growth is like riding a bike. You can go forward or you can go backward, but you can't stand still. You're just going to fall over. Now let's just keep going forward. It's a good time to preach a message like this. Amen. New Year's. Good starting point. Springboard to say, keep growing. Secondly, go over to Ephesians chapter 4. This idea of staying in love. That's really what this text means. Staying in love. Ephesians chapter 4. And look at verse number 11. Familiar verses, I know. It says, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Know your Bible. Why? Because if you know your Bible, you understand that we are supposed to cultivate the unity of the Spirit and brotherly love. I'm not talking about this ooey-gooey stuff. How many of you know what I mean by this ooey-gooey stuff? This ooey-gooey stuff that says, well, I know the Bible says that this is, you're not supposed to do this, but love is love. That's not Bible love. Bible love is saying we agree with that book and we love one another. Yeah. See, boy, I wish I could drill this into Christianity's head. This is it right here. It doesn't matter what I think and it doesn't matter what you think. It matters what this book says right here. So knowing our Bibles will help us to stay in love with one another. Keep growing. Know your Bible. Oh boy, this one. We're in Ephesians 4. Go down to the last verse. Oh boy. And be ye kind one to another. Maybe I don't hear that well, but I think I do. I can't tell you the last time I heard an unkind word in this church. By accident. Like I was walking by a conversation and I heard two people talking and it was absolutely, totally unkind. I'm sure there's been one, and please don't come up and remind me of one. I'm all set. Amen. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Hey, you know a church that'll continue in brotherly love? You see three things in that text. And Brother Brown, they're missing ingredients in fundamentalism. Kindness, tenderness, and forgiveness. You take those three elements and you'll get to loving one another. Because you know what? Each one of us needs forgiveness. There's a time when each one of us needs the tenderness of God's people. Kindness. So keep growing. Know your Bible. Kindness. And then lastly, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, or chapter 12 rather. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. See, Philadelphia, brotherly love is rooted in humility. It's taught by God. It requires cultivation. It's the building block of Christian growth. And how do we stay in love? How do we let brotherly love continue? We keep growing. We know our Bibles. We're kind one to another. And then chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians and verse number 25, please. This is the great illustration that God gives of the body and how the church is a body. And He says in verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Can I put this into an illustration that we could all understand? If somebody in our church passes away, we suffer with them, don't we? But you know what? 3 years ago, Donald and Marissa had Sethi. So little Sethi was born 3 years ago yesterday. And you know what we all did 3 years ago? We rejoiced. Because we're a body. The last point is this. Kindred spirit. Kindred spirit. It's missing in a lot of churches. It's not missing here. But you know what we have to do? We have to keep it going. We have to continue. Let brotherly love continue. Let Philadelphia, Menno, Philadelphia, Menno. What does that mean? Stay in love. Stay in love. How do we do it? How do we do it? We keep growing individually in love. We know our Bibles. We're kind one to another. And we have that kindred spirit. When you suffer, I suffer. When you win, I cheer. That's what it is. Let brotherly love continue. Father, thank You for Your goodness to us. Thank You for a church where it is so apparent that Your love is amongst us, that we truly care one for another. I pray that You'd help us, Lord, to continue. Continue in brotherly love. Lord, help us to not only keep that love within the four walls, but Lord, to share that love with those around us that are lost. I pray that You would bless now as we close our service, as we go our separate ways. Pray that You'd please bless this message to our hearts. We thank You for all that You give. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Boy, how